Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Bill Ackman, we posted this on Instagram, and this is relevant because this is a financial conversation. So Harvard, there's 30 Harvard student groups that signed a open letter. I'll read some of the open letters. So this is the open letter that Harvard students, some of the Harvard students put together and some of the Harvard students group signed. Today's events, this is when it first happened, when the attack on Israel first happened, right? On the Hamas offensive. Today's events did not occur in a vacuum. For the last two decades, millions of Palestinians in Gaza have been forced to live in an open-air prison. Israeli officials promised to open the floodgates of hell, and the massacre in Gaza has already commenced. Palestinians in Gaza have no shelter for refuge and nowhere to escape. In the coming days, Palestinians will be forced to bear the full brunt of Israel's violence. The apartheid regime is the only one to blame. Israeli violence has structured every aspect of Palestinians' existence for 75 years, from systematically land seizures to routine airstrikes, arbitrary detentions to military checkpoints and enforcing family separations and targeting killings. Palestinians have been forced to live in a state of death, both slow and sudden. This is what some Harvard, they put that out, right? Mm-hmm. Bill Ackman, who is a billionaire and one of the most powerful people on Wall Street, he responded on Twitter, very upset about the I don't know if he went to Harvard or not, but he was very upset about what those Harvard students had to say. And he, in response, said that he wanted to get the names. He pushed Harvard to release the names of the students that were responsible for those words. Quote, none of us inadvertently hire any of their members. So he said that he wanted to make sure that no Wall Street firms inadvertently hired any of the students, essentially saying that he wanted the names of Harvard students so he can make sure that they would never get hired on Wall Street. Now, this is extremely controversial because obviously it walks on freedom of speech, right? What this country is founded on. And even the ex-Harvard president was concerned about this and said it seemed like McCarthyism. This was when everybody was scared to be called a communist, right? And if you were labeled a communist, then your whole career would just be blackballed. So this is extremely relevant because this show is called Market Mondays. And mm-hmm. we talk about the stock market. Mm-hmm. And Bill Ackman is one of the most powerful people on Wall Street.
Billionaire hedge fund.
Stock market. So I think it's interesting because he didn't say that he was going to just make sure that they never worked for his company. He said that he was going to make sure that none of us, keyword us, inadvertently, meaning that they're already not going to get hired if they know for sure, but they just want to make sure that they're not making, he wants to make sure that none of us. So what this is saying is that he's speaking
by us, you mean they,
any Wall Street firm,
yeah, they,
Goldman Sachs, you name it,
yeah.
Okay, so interesting that he would say this publicly, and this has caused a lot of controversy in the news. So I think that this is important on a few different aspects of it. A, from the media standpoint, because if you heard what I just said, those are just the words. I think it's important for media to be non-biased. And we live in a day and age where there is really no media that is non-biased. Earning Leisure is non-biased, but for the most part, none of these major media corporations are non-biased. Yeah. And even how they framed the letter from the Harvard students, a lot of media publications deemed it as pro-Hamas. They never even mentioned Hamas at all. And like I said, I'm not even taking a side of the Harvard students, but we just have to be factual, right? They never said that they were pro-Hamas. They were obviously anti-Israel. That's a fair statement to say. But even the way that it has been framed is not actually factually true. The problem with the media is that nobody really ever checks the media. So if you just say, okay, 30 Harvard students put out a pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist letter, well, you're playing with semantics, okay. And you're playing with words. And now, because hardly anybody, I'm sure, has even read the letter. Mm-hmm. So before you even read the letter, you're already going into it with a tainted view. I'm assuming Bill Ackman read it because he's an intelligent person and very rich. So I'm assuming that he read it, but maybe he didn't read it. Maybe he just saw the headline. Who knows? But I think that it brings out a very dangerous point in this country when somebody can openly vow to block the careers of somebody because they have an opinion. They didn't fund money to this. They didn't say, like, you know, we're going on the front lines to fight ourselves. They openly wrote an opinion in a peaceful manner. Right. And you could disagree with their opinion. That's something that you have a right to as an American. And you can choose not to hire them in your company if you want to. But to openly try to collude with every single Wall Street firm to stop their hiring because they don't agree with you, well, it's such a dangerous precedent. And it would never happen if it was for another disadvantaged group. If anybody said anything disrespectful about Black people, I've never seen this level of blackball happen. In fact, you could even become president, because when Donald Trump called the Central Park Five rapist, and they should be, he said they should have the death penalty. And they were 16 and 17 years old. They weren't even adults. And then it comes out that they were exonerated and that they were actually completely misused by the justice system, that they never committed the crime at all. They actually got like $60 million from New York City. And he said that that was a waste of taxpayers' money. He doubled down on the statement and he became president. So we're living in very interesting times. And yeah, I think right. that the media is at a very important part of society. And we must have free press. We can never be bullied. The press can never be bullied. And people's opinions have to be respected across all aisles. Because once we start to walk on people's opinion, then we really compromise the integrity of any level of democracy that we think we have.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Everything you said is, I'm 100% in agreement with this, but it's interesting when you think about the statement being made public. Imagine the conversations that are being had in private.
Private. Right.
Like, yep. it makes you think about that part. But the other thing that's also interesting that I think gets overlooked is that rather than talking to the school, he's attacking the students, right? He could have just said that, hey, if we support Harvard, then, and this is my alma mater, we're not going to be a booster for Harvard anymore. He specifically is going after students, which is interesting, right? These are the future of our society. This could have been a learning moment. Even if he thought that he disagreed with them, this could have been a moment for him to engage with them and have conversation, right? Because ultimately, there could be an understanding that comes from that conversation. But to put us, right, to speak about an entire industry, right? When we spoke to Van Jones, and we talked about finance, and we talked about the financial structure of America, the heart of it is Wall Street. So what you're doing is derailing and putting up a roadblock for any financial progress. That's just from a standpoint, even if they wanted to be in the world of finance, maybe they didn't, but to have their names released, that could affect them in any other career field, right? Just because they had an opinion or they exercised their freedom of speech, which is interesting, but these are the things that are happening, right? So like we always try to go over our mindset and the conversations that we're having. These things are happening in public, but so many more conversations that happen in private that are probably similar to this that are never going to be released, which is important. That puts us in a position to say, you know what, we're part of media, we see how this is going, we're going to say something because we have the right to.
You have to, I don't want to take the other side of it, but I do want to highlight a couple things. Number one, you have to be very careful of what you say. Number two, there's a reason why people have always told people to stay away from religion and or politics. Because you are, once you take a side, you then are going to upset potential enemies that may be on the other side of that conflict or advice that you're giving. I do think it's unfair for him to call them out. But the other part of it is, if he went to Harvard, I think he graduated in 88, then went to Columbia as a donor there, isn't the purpose of power to be able to do what you want to do with it? I ask all the time, what's the purpose of having FU money if at some point you can't say FU? I think if someone agrees with what the student said, they should hire them at their firm. The way the data is skewed, though, not many will. I think it's unfortunate, even here. It was one episode, I won't say what guest, but some of the audience members went unfavorable to the guest and had some comments in YouTube, and they ended up on the blacklist. You got to be careful what you say to people. People aren't always going to tell you and publicly, hey, I'm going to get my lick back. But on the back, you have to be very, and we've had these conversations privately about diplomacy, when to attack, when to retreat, when to not give certain things energy. It's unfortunate, but in the time we're in, if you're going to take a stance, and you're not willing to back that stance with your own capital, you could be in trouble. You really could be. Also, we talked about it before. Freedom of speech was really made for in your house and in small private gatherings. You can't say whatever you want to in public and online. It's no different. And I'll say this for those of you who work in corporate. I had a stock club call Saturday. I, four times in a row, begged everybody in Red Panda, stay away from this topic, your thoughts, political disposition, because the same thing is going to happen to you. If you so choose to take a side and you're wrong or you get attacked, that is the price of speaking. I know we have this illusion of a democracy, really republic in the United States of America, but this has been, and expect like the thing that I saw from most of us that are black, it's like this has been happening to us in every industry. It's unfortunate that it happened to them. Yes. But this kind of treatment has been happening to us forever.
I think it highlights a few things. So you're right. You have to, if you're willing to speak on something, you have to be able to deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah.
And there's always consequences for everything. But this is why I think that is dangerous, because when I think of Harvard, I'm looking at student organization putting out a letter that's almost similar to like a press. That's like press, right? So when it's just a random person on Twitter saying something, now you know, if you say something, but because at what point does it stop, right? At what point does somebody's personal views, opinions, or stating the facts, you start to walk a thin line? This country was built on freedom of speech. That's essential. The reason why America has been looked at in this light is because most countries in the world don't have free speech. Most countries in the world, you say something about the president, you can actually get killed.
Absolutely. Right?
In America, like, you know, we've had the ability to say F the police, right? Like they said that, and then or you know, talking about the president, and Eazy-E walked through the White House with the Jerry curl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is our culture, hip hop, but that's an example that in other countries, nobody, if you would have said F the police, you would have got killed.
Yeah, or arrest the president.
If you would have said something about the president, your brains would be blown out on the street. Well, who knows? If how this country might look in 50 years or 100 years, right? If we take an authoritarian approach to things and limit people's freedom of speech and publicly do it with such confidence, right? It wasn't even like it was done in private. If we publicly start to denouncing people's freedom of speech in such confidence, well, now you make people scared to speak. And now once you make people scared to speak, now you compromise freedom of speech, you compromise the free press, and you create a very dangerous situation. So I think that you're right for sure, but you have to at some point question authority, because if you never question authority, then it'll just be status quo. And that's not the way to have a productive society, by just following status quo. We have to have uncomfortable conversations. We have to have debates. We have to be able to question things publicly without getting denounced and villainized, right? This is part of American culture, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't have this, we don't have America.
This is part of it.
Quick question.
Like I was saying, it's important, right? But you take into conception, like we're talking about a student body group. And so the average student in college is what, 18 to 23, right? So you're still talking about minds that are still developing. And even in Ackman's statement, he's saying, we should be made aware of people who support terrorist groups. Like you said, there was nothing in there that says he's.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's nothing. They never said they supported terrorists.
I'm talking about his response. So his response is that if people are supporting terrorist groups, we should be made aware of that, especially if these are people that we're going to potentially hire in the future. Inaccurate. But what that does is when other CEOs read his statement, they're going off of his inaccuracies. And so you get the CEO of Sweetgreen saying, I want to know who they are so I can never hire these people. Right. And so we're talking now this isn't even a financial conversation anymore. Now this is just like any career path that you're choosing. If your name is now released,
it's over with.
It's like you're done.
Yeah.
For a statement or a group that you came together with when you were in high school or just out of high school, in college, 19 to 23, and you said something that somebody misconstrued. Media picked it up. It was inaccurate. The statements were inaccurate. And now your life is ruined.
I don't even want to take the other side of the argument, but can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
What me at Red Panda and you guys are earning your leisure, hire anyone that said anything favorable about any neo-Nazi group?
Well, let me ask you this. It's already happening because Robert Kawasaki, who I read his book. I say that his book changed my life. When he says things like the Black Lives Matter terrorists and George Floyd, you know, paraphrasing like, you know, kind of he's resisting arrest and all these things, it's already done.
Yeah.
We vote. The public has already voted for Donald Trump, who we can go through what he says a variety of different times
on a weekly basis.
I mean, we can just go through sports. We can go through this whole list of things. So to answer your question, we never had power in this country. So that's not even a fair question to ask because we don't control power. We, as far as Black people, we're not in a position to blackball anybody. We've never been. We can't blackball anybody from politics. We see that they rose to the highest level of power. We can't blackball anybody from finance. We see that they openly disrespect Black people and they rise to the highest level of power. We have never been in a position to actually enforce any level of being able to blackball anybody. So,
the bus boycotts, I think we just conceded for the wrong things when we had leverage. There's a bunch of brands where we can turn around and make not popular if we choose. I don't think we care enough to.
Boycotting something and actually blackballing somebody is two different things. Yeah. We can boycott things and say we're not going to support this business. I'm saying as far as having the power vocally or non-vocally to go in a board meeting and say like, nah, this person's not getting hired. And we're not going to put money behind his campaign. And we're not going to give him. That's something that we just don't have. We've never had enough power to. And we still to this day don't have enough power. So it's hard to even speak from that hypothetical because we're not in that position. We haven't. But we're in a position where we can be blackballed. And that has happened continuously. Ackman said it verbally. And like I said, this is bigger than just the Harvard students. But this brings up a bigger. How many people?
Yeah, it's a big issue.
How many people have said something where they supported Malcolm X and they didn't agree with you supporting Malcolm X? And you'll never know that you didn't get hired. Mm-hmm. You never know that you didn't get corporate funding. How many people supported the Black Panthers, the real Black Panthers, not the Marvel? And just by you saying that, you never know that that was the reason why it didn't work out for you. You never know that that's the reason why you didn't advance in your career.
Yeah, you didn't get that home loan that could have changed your family's trajectory 45, 50 years ago. It's implicit. It's not as explicit as him saying this.
But, okay.
Last point, if we can state the obvious, Ackman's ethnicity plays a lot into what he said, and as it should.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to dance around it, but I also don't want to turn up on it. But it's like people have to be mindful of the repercussions of what they say. And we've seen people get canceled before over similar comments. Just because you're in college doesn't negate you of responsibility for it. Do I think it's fair? No, but this is the truth. This has always been done. This is not new. And he's not the first one publicly to say it. Like even at one point when I went to Indiana University, if you said anything crazy about Bob Knight, it was going to affect your life on campus. At one point, like Bob was king of Bloomington. If you said something disparaging about him, it would have an impact on your grades and how teachers felt about you if they were pro him. This has always happened. The biggest thing I want us to take away is free speech is not free. Press is not free if pharma is paying for it. And we've never had the right to publicly say whatever the fuck we wanted to.
But even the Bob Knight thing, that's a good example until you see him putting his hands around a kid's neck. Not the views about.
He should have made the layup or pass the ball.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I mean? Like,
layup. Coverdale was making him three. Hey, babe boy, you should have made them layup. I'll choke you too. You missed 14 layup. I'm just joking. These jokes written by 85 South. Shout out to AJ Moyer, AJ Dighton, right? But Alan Henderson, you should have made the layup though.
The last thing we'll say about this is how do you feel about That's DJ Vlad saying that Drake and is the most famous Jewish person in the world, and DJ Khaled is the most famous Palestinian person in the world, and they haven't said anything yet, and he's disappointed that they haven't made comments.
I think Drake and Khaled realize if they make a statement, it would be too detrimental for their brand because they're not well-versed enough in it to speak on it, and it would have an impact on their lives. Everyone does have to make a statement. Vlad, you should make a statement.
I think he
make
did.
Your statements. Continue to put out what you're putting out on KFD and pay your workers better.
All right.
Put out. All right. Shout. Okay.
All right.
TV time.
And then I think we have to offer. My thing with the Vlad situation is that once again he asked Drake. He said in Jewish law, Drake's mother's Jewish, so he's Jewish by Jewish law. He was raised in a Jewish community. You know, he gave a whole long list of things that, you know, Drake says he's Jewish, so he should speak as a Jew. He should speak on Jewish issues. My thing is, I've never heard Vlad ever say that, you know, and this is by historical law, definitely by American law, if you had one drop of black blood in you, you would consider black, right? This is on the slave plantation. If you were light skinned, you might have got treated a little better, but you were still black. You never was treated as a white person. So Drake's father's obviously black. He's a black man. Drake is entrenched in hip hop culture, spent summers in Memphis, Tennessee, and is a hip hop artist. I don't think anybody would debate that he's a black man, just like J. Cole, who's biracial, or President Obama, or a variety of other people. But I've never heard him ever say that Drake, as a black man, has an obligation to speak on black issues. So that's interesting. But then also, I think that, yeah, it is wise as a celebrity, if you don't fully understand what you're saying, to say nothing at all. We saw Justin Bieber put up praying for Israel with a picture of Gaza. And you know what? It's better not to say anything, yeah. We have a weird of celebrity obsession, and like, it's like even Floyd, like, you know, Floyd is one of the greatest boxers of all time, and his business acumen is wonderful. We interviewed him at Market Mondays, and the first time I met Floyd was Market Mondays. He had glasses with no lenses in them. So I say that to say, I'm just being honest with you. So
I know you're painting the picture.
Maybe he was going for something that didn't work.
You got to paint the picture so vivid they can see it clearly with their eyes.
I wouldn't necessarily take world views from Floyd Mayweather. Is not my go-to. He's not my go-to,
bro. But we've had this conversation, right? In certain communities, we look for people, pundits, that are experts or are well versed in geopolitical issues, right? In our community, we look to entertainers.
Is it that we look to it, or the media pushes
them?
Because there are
how are we talking? Hey, yeah. Okay, let's talk.
The media interview, that goes back to the Vlad thing. Yeah. Why do you obsessed for a Drake comment? There's plenty of qualified people,
right,
that study this for years.
Yeah.
That's relevant, that can actually have an intelligent conversation. So we're pushed on the fact of, let's see what LeBron James is going to say. Let's log on Twitter and see what DJ Khaled has to say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think that part of it is the media obsession with celebrities that forces us to always look. Because the first thing that happens, George Floyd, the first thing we do is go to our favorite celebrity and see what did they go into stories, and then we check every hour.
It becomes a story, right? If one of them say it as a celebriton, then it's going to more clicks, right? For that business, for the media business to work, you have to have people who are going to draw eyes and attention to a statement or to a story. And so the fact that they keep going to them is for that exact reason.
But like,
are they qualified?
No, but they have influence. So it's like a Muhammad Ali, right? This is a perfect person who was actually qualified to speak, and he had a lot of influence, and he's somebody that was a leader, even though he was an entertainer as far as boxing. He's an athlete, right? But like I said, you know, every athlete's not Muhammad Ali.
No. That era of athlete, Muhammad Ali.
Kyrie, you got Kyrie.
Bill Russell, Jim Brown. Kyrie.
Kyrie also got
Colin Kaepernick. Jalen Brown, Kyrie Irving. Kaepernick had his moment in time. He sparked a
situation. But he never spoke.
He didn't speak, but to his point, to his credit, maybe he wasn't confident.
Or qualified,
right?
True.
Yeah.
All right.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. you can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.